The subject that I'll speak to you on this afternoon will be related to what we just sang. I want to preach to you this afternoon from Psalm 71. Psalm 71, the whole psalm basically, but I just want to make 5 points out of it. And I want to talk to you about praying to God in old age. That's what this psalm is all about, by the way. But before we begin, let's bow together for prayer. Father, how we do thank you that you have brought us here to this place, that you are the God of our salvation, and upon you we wait all the day. We wait upon you now, Lord, begging of you the mercy that you alone can give, that by your Holy Spirit that you will come to our hearts and set our hearts on fire to the truth, so that we delight ourselves in you, so that we see your greatness and glory and goodness, Lord Jesus, so that our faith is strengthened, and if we do not have faith, that you would create it in us. We pray that you will bless us now as we partake of these holy and spiritual things. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 71, beginning in verse 1, says, "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God, you are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. I have become as a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, 'God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him.' O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed who are adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Also your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Also with the lute I will praise you and your faithfulness, O my God. To you I will sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul, which you have redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought to shame, who seek my hurt." Well, the trials and difficulties of getting older cannot be sufficiently understood until one gets there. When you are younger, and some of you can remember when you were younger, when you were younger, you thought, I'm not going to get old. This just isn't going to happen. And then some time goes by and you get a little bit older and you think, you know, I just can't run the way that I used to, you know? Used to be able to run 3-4 miles at a shot. You know, sometimes I'd run with other people in a 7-mile race, but I can't do that anymore. You know, sometimes we just don't understand what it means to get older until we get there. But when we get there, we understand it right well. And old age is not for sissies, as they say. However, those of us who are Christians should anticipate that time. And so we should learn to pray to God that we might have the full assurance that we know God and belong to God and that He will be our helper all the way to glory. Now, those who are not sure that they are a Christian should listen and I'll preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to you, which, if believed, will give you good hope and eternal comfort, and you will know that all of your days, which is really a blessing, by the way. And you will find that believing in Christ is going to lead you to see where you can find true inner strength to face every trial and every difficulty in your life. Engaging in prayer to God, I'm saying, is the way to find God becoming your helper in everything. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. And Jesus says men ought always to pray and not to faint. That is, not to lose heart. But some particular times are harder than other times. So listen to me this afternoon while I speak to you about praying to find God's help in our most difficult hours. Here are five brief things to remember. First of all, learn to pray to God in faith. Verses 1 to 5, and you, O Lord, I put my trust, let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You have given commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Now notice that this is the first thing out of David's mouth. He declares his faith and his trust are in God. And surely, that's how to learn how to pray. That's how to do it. You learn to pray to God by first learning by grace to trust. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Now, that's not always as easy as it seems. You have to begin somewhere. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You want to find God? You need to diligently seek him and believe that he is there. I remember when I first cried out to God in prayer. I'd grown up going to church, went to church all during my growing up years, and I didn't know God. Finally, I came to a point in my life after I'd gotten out of college where I really needed to know if there was a God, because I really didn't know if he existed. But I cried out to him in prayer, and he revealed himself to me. That is, through the gospel. I needed to hear the gospel in order to be saved. And sometimes we don't realize that. There's an order to these things. Sometimes people think, well, that's just a technique the pastor's talking about. You just pray and then the Lord answers your prayers. No, you have to know the Lord first. And the way that you come to know the Lord is calling upon his name. You call upon his name. He who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we call upon him, and he answers us, and delivers us from all of our sins and all of our fears. Well, David knew that there were rewards. There were great blessings. There was a sweet assurance that came to him from time to time that if he sought God, that he would find him when he searched for him. David knew this by experience. And it's something which you too need to prove by experience. Now let me ask you whether you have proved this to yourself. Have you proved it to yourself? Do you pray to God regularly? Do you interact with God in prayer, pouring out your heart to Him, casting your burden on Him, seeing Him as your all in all? See, that's what God wants from us, whether we're old or young. When we're young, He says, "Give me your heart, my son." When we're old, we've given Him our heart, hopefully. And when we have, then He'll keep it. And He'll keep us safe. And He'll give us every reason to pray to Him in our time of need. Well, David had been driven out of his own home. That's the context of this psalm. Been driven out of his own palace as king. And he'd been driven out of Jerusalem, actually, by his own son, Absalom, who wanted to be king in his place. That's the context of his writing these verses. He had no certain dwelling place but in the fields and the caves, and so he asked God to be his strong habitation, his strong refuge, to where he might continually resort, to where he might continually go. Now let me ask you if you see God that way. Do you see God as your strong resort? You can resort to Him. You can go to Him. You can come to Him in prayer. You find Him to be your refuge, your rock, your strong tower. See, that's the kind of thing that promotes prayer. And this assurance that we're talking about. Well, I'm speaking here in the context of the nursing home. And some of you here today were led to leave your home, or you were forced to leave your comfortable home that you lived in to live here in the nursing home. And perhaps this has really worked out well for you, and that's good. You're thankful for the staff, for the care that you're getting here. You might rather be back where you were before in your home. Perhaps coming here, it's not worked out as you thought. I do not know how you think about it, but I do know that whatever circumstances that you are in, this place, a place which may be in some ways unfamiliar or difficult, that you should pray to God in faith and declare to Him that He is your strong refuge, your habitation to which you continually resort. Declare to Him in prayer that He's your rock and your fortress, your sure dwelling place where your heart goes to find rest in the most trying of times. Is that you? Ask yourself, because that's what God would be to you. That's what He would have you to be towards Him, that you would see Him as your strength in this way. What a great God He is. Truly, the reality of seeing God in this way only comes by faith. And it only comes when you learn to pray. And that by faith in Him, then you will fully realize the blessing of inner strength. Inner strength. Now let me ask if you have ever prayed to be saved from your sins and to be given the free gift of eternal life. This is where you'll really find that God will draw near to you if you never have before. You call upon His name. You believe that Jesus' work on the cross is the only basis of your being heard by God in prayer, and then God answers you. You don't see yourself as righteous enough in yourself or strong enough in yourself to save yourself from your sins or to deliver yourself, you know that God alone can do that through Jesus Christ, your Lord. Oh, that's the best place you can possibly be. You see, God answers you in that context. He comes, he brings you that quiet assurance that he has heard you. And he, having now saved you, will care for you the way that he alone can do. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my strength, my victory is. That's how God wants you to see him. And you say, well, I feel like I'm pushed up against the wall. My back's against the wall. Vance Havner, the great preacher, he used to say that's the best possible place you could be, shipwrecked on God and stranded upon omnipotence. Well, that's a good way to put it. Why? Because God himself hears the prayers of those who come to him through Jesus. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure, the hymn writer says. Now once you begin by faith in this way, I'm saying, then God gives command to save you from your sins. Gives command to save you. That's an amazing thing. He takes it upon himself as you go through life to deliver you, to deliver your life from all distress. That's what David used to say. The God who has delivered my life from all distress, that's the God that we worship and serve. He said in another place, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Wow, that's an amazing promise. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. And the psalmist says in verse 5, for you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. Now this is something to rejoice in. If you have known the Lord from your youth, how many years have some of you known the Lord? I've known the Lord for 42 years now. But I didn't know the Lord from my youth. I wasn't saved until I was 25. But I'm very thankful that my parents raised me in the church so that I could sing these great psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and hear at least something of the gospel. It was a great thing. Well, second, pray with praise upon your lips, remembering what God has done for you. It says, by you I've been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. I have become a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise. There it is again. And with your glory all the day long. Now let me ask you, when you pray, if you praise God, do you praise God? I think sometimes we think of prayer as just requests. Maybe we will extol God a little bit. But sometime when you get a chance, read the Psalms, and you will see that the Psalms are full of praise to God. Almost continually. Almost nothing but praise. It's so incredible. Now, let me ask this question. Are you determined that by grace that your praise will be continually of God? That is, that because the Lord has saved you and because he's giving you this great and precious grace, that you will Continually praise Him no matter what you're going through, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. That's not easy sometimes, is it? In everything give thanks. To be always praising Him. Well, you may have become a wonder to many. Have you become a wonder to many? Or to yourself, even? I'm not as old as some of you, and I've become a wonder to myself sometimes. Well, you may have never dreamed that you could become so physically weak when you get older. You who were once really strong, and now you're not so strong. Perhaps you're emotionally weak, and yet you still praise God. I'm saying this is what glorifies God. It glorifies God to praise Him. Most people around you who are younger do not understand what it means to grow old. They do not. But you can show them the way to eternal and everlasting life, and you can show them the meaning of life. And it's found in praising God for His wonderful works that He has done and is continually doing for you. He has upheld you from your birth. He is upholding you even now amidst your great weakness. He is the strength of your physical body, but more importantly, He is the strength of your heart. The strength of your eternal soul. Oh, praise Him that it is so. Let your mouth be filled with His praise and His glory all day long. Third, pray and tell the Lord what's on your heart, especially your fears. Verses 9 to 13. Do not cast me off in time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together. Now this is a common fear. Even of those who know the Lord, that God might not be with them as they grow older. That's true. And perhaps they also have people around them who they think that those people are against them. Those who are speaking against them in some way. And so they're fearful, they're anxious about it. What's to be done? Well, what's to be done is to pray. And tell the Lord what is on your heart. Tell the Lord your concerns, that you are worried that somehow He might forsake you when your strength fails. Tell Him of the people who may be speaking against you and who do not seem to have your true interests at heart. And then pray the prayer of verse 12, O God, do not be far from me. Oh, this is good. Oh, God, make haste to help me. You see, God hears the cries of the poor and needy, and him who has no helper, when those cries are brought to Him in the name of Jesus. You know, for a long time I didn't come to know the Lord when I was 25 years old because I was praying, but I wasn't praying in the name of Jesus. To be answered by God, you must pray in the name of Jesus. There is no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved. So calling upon the name of Jesus is the right way to proceed. Now, you need to tell the Lord all your concerns. And you need to say to Him that you are worried that somehow He might forsake you when your strength fails. I mean, after all, how do you know that you'll even be aware that your strength is failing? I mean, sometimes we just get so old and so weak that we don't even know what is happening. What are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to pray. Pray in your spirit. Pray when you can't think to do anything else, because God hears the cries of the poor and needy and him who has no helper. Fourth, pray and tell him your hopes for the future. Verses 14 to 18, but I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. Wow. This is grand language, is it not? I will go in the strength of the Lord God, and I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. So your hope for the future ought to be, if it is not now, that you would be able to declare God's strength to this generation and his power to all who are coming. That is a great prayer, beloved. Pray that way, that when you get older, that you're declaring God's strength to people. People look at you, they think you're a wonder because of how many years you've lived or the things that you've been through. And they're amazed by that. What are you doing? You're declaring God's strength to them. When God has given you all these good years, you know, long life and fullness of days truly is a blessing from God. Is it not? I think it is. Or it would not be commended so much to us in the scriptures. But what I'm trying to say to you is that is how you should view your life, not as worthless or it's over because you can't do all the things you used to do. No, you're declaring God's strength to this generation and his power to everyone who is to come. You'll say to me, well, how can I do this when I'm so physically weak? Well, let me tell you about the experience of the Apostle Paul, who was given very great visions and revelations from God. He might have had a tendency to boast in these things, except that God had taught him how he should view himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me, and he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength or my power is perfected in your weakness.' Therefore, most gladly I will boast in my infirmities," that is what my weaknesses, "that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs, in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You see, Paul had learned this very important lesson. Very important lesson for him to learn and for you to learn, which is linked to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ is different from self-determination and self-sufficiency. Faith in Jesus Christ trusts in and draws on his righteousness and his strength. Only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. They don't come from yourself. They come from God. Now, this is how you come to know God in the first place. You realize you can't save yourself from your sins, and you realize that you do not have the strength to do and keep God's commandments. You don't have it within yourself. None of us does. And you place your faith in Jesus, whose righteousness is better than yours. It's better than your own, because his is perfect. Jesus' righteousness is perfect because he did keep every single one of God the Father's commandments all of the Ten Commandments, including the greatest of the commandments, to love the Lord his God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and his neighbor as himself. He kept those perfectly. And see what God does? God imputes that righteousness to your legal standing and account. And so then God sees you as he sees Jesus as perfect, as sinless, even though you know that you're not in so many ways. That's salvation. That's what it means to be justified. That's what it means to be accepted in the Beloved. Well, and then what happens? When you believe, you are given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you receive the needed strength to go on to learn by Christ's grace what God would have you to learn in connection with the truth of the Bible in this life. Now, sometimes when we pray, we don't receive the answer to our prayers to remove the thorn in the flesh. That's a predicament, isn't it? That's what happened to Paul. He had these great revelations, and he got puffed up with pride over them, and God said, okay, I can't have that. So he says, I'll give him a thorn in the flesh. He gives him a thorn in the flesh, and Paul prays three times to have it removed. And what does God say? He says, my strength is perfected in your weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. Oh, that's so good. When you learn that practically. Because faith in Jesus Christ trusts in and draws on his righteousness and his strength. And so now you have the Holy Spirit in your life. But you don't receive the answer to your prayer that your physical complaint will leave. In fact, your physical complaints become more sometimes instead of less. But God says to us, when we are in that situation as a Christian, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in your weakness. Trust in me, the Lord says, and I will give you the grace and the strength to go on. And this is one of the most important reasons that Christ died. He wants you to learn that truth, because he's got grace that's sufficient for you. Only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. So even if you're feeling your weakest, tell your Lord what your greatest hopes for your future are. They're related to declaring his strength to this generation, and he will consider them. He may do what he did with Hezekiah and give you 15 more years, add those years to your life. You may not want 15 more years. You may just want to go to glory. But I'm saying that he'll give you grace and strength no matter what your physical condition is, so that your faith in Christ will do you good, bring you comfort, and save your soul, and you hold fast to him. And then one more brief point. Pray with certainty of what God can and what he will do for you and what you will do for him. Verses 19 to 21 says, also your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you, you who have shown me great and severe troubles, shall revive me again and bring me up from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. He's looking forward to the resurrection, isn't he? But he's also looking forward to what God will do for him even in the rest of his life. Even though David had seen great and severe troubles, God would revive him again. He would help him to come back from the trials which had come to him, to his kingdom, his personal reign, and reestablish David's greatness and comfort him on every side. But the words also speak of what the Lord will do for everyone who believes in Jesus. Yes, each of us will die if Jesus does not come back first, but God will again bring us up from the depths of the earth, raise us from the dead, and increase our greatness and comfort us on every side. And so you should pray to him with that certainty of what he's going to do for you in the future. That you're looking forward, and you can tell him this. You're looking forward to his second coming. You're looking forward even to your own death in that holy sense of being able to go to be with the Lord forever and to see him face to face. And so tell him also what you will do for him. Tell him that you will sing to him and you will praise him for all the good things that he has done for you. Because of his faithfulness, you will worship him forever and be thankful to him forever. Therefore, praise him that God has given you your life, and praise him for his great salvation, which is found by faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this passage of Scripture, which teaches us so much of how to pray in old age. Help each one here to come to know the reality of these good things that I have spoken about here this afternoon, the beauties and wonders of your grace at work in our heart and life, where we can take refuge in you continually, where we can find rest and peace and joy and blessing, where we can learn to grow in regard to our faith, where we can learn to triumph in our times of affliction. We pray that each one here would know the reality of your comfort and your blessing as they reflect upon these truths, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.